Chapter 5. We looked last at the worship beginning in heaven in chapter 4 and verse 1 and following, and how John was caught up into heaven in the Spirit, and he got to see the worship around the throne of God and the elders and the living creatures or beasts, as they're often referred to. How they worship the Lord. They're angelic creatures. And we previously looked at chapter 5 at the four horsemen of the apocalypse, as it's called, the seven sealed book, that Jesus was the only one in heaven who was worthy to open the seals and let loose these events that will be in the tribulation that will follow. And he's the Lamb that is worthy. If you look at chapter 5, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Now, what makes sense to us in understanding this is most likely this is scrolls, and they are written and rolled together, and they are sealed, and each scroll is sealed, and they're rolled on top of each other. And Christ breaks these seals and then opens the page and reads what is transpiring. I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And then every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, all that are in them, heard I saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. And I saw the Lamb open one of the seals, chapter 6 and verse 1. And I heard as it was the noise of thunder and the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the wine and the oil." And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word tonight, I ask that you'll give me wisdom as I speak. I pray that you'll help us to open our ears and our hearts to the Word of God and help us to learn the revelation and the events that will come in the future, that we might be prepared to help others to know that if they know Christ as their Savior, they are delivered from the wrath to come, and the danger that if they do not know Christ as their Savior, that they will face these judgments and possible death in the tribulation that is to come. So help us tonight, and we pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now the Lamb who is worthy to open the book, and he opens these seals, and these horsemen come forth. And this is the beginning of the tribulation as the Antichrist comes to power, and as war and death and pestilence and all these things transpire. This is expression of overall judgments through the tribulation, the beginning throughout. And then in chapter 6, we begin to see specific things that take place in somewhat of a chronological order through chapter 19. Now these four horsemen, I want you to turn back with me to about the tribulation to look at the book of Daniel, chapter 9. God gave Daniel understanding. Israel was in captivity in Babylon, and that captivity was to last for 70 years. And at the end of that 70 years, there would come forth an order to go back and rebuild the temple and rebuild the wall around the city of Jerusalem. And we find that in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. While they're waiting for that 70 years to be fulfilled, Daniel is praying and gets visions from God in chapter 9 and verse 24. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them. And he shall be, I'm in chapter 7, excuse me, chapter 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That's 69 weeks of years. 7 years in a week. And this is the time frame from the command to go back after the 70 years until the cutting off of Christ. And it says, the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood unto the end of the war. Desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. 1 week of years is referred to Daniel's 70th week, the tribulation period, the 7 years of the tribulation. And he confirms, he being the Antichrist, confirms the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease for the overspreading of abominations. He shall make it desolate even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So in the midst of this time, Antichrist will defile the temple. He will declare that he is God and that men must worship him, and therefore he commits what the Bible calls the abomination of desolation. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, when they see the abomination of desolation that Daniel spoke of, they should flee, because the time of God's great judgments, the great tribulation, the last 3.5 years, are at hand when that takes place. Now God reveals to Daniel the purpose of the tribulation period. You see it in verse 24. He lists for us 6 things here, and then the 7th thing that I'll mention tonight is the catalyst of the tribulation. First of all, the tribulation is given to finish the transgression. Israel has not finished their transgression. The 70 years of captivity was because Israel failed to observe the Sabbath years. And so for 490-year period of time, 70 Sabbath years were not observed, and God gave the land rest for these 70 years while they were in captivity in Babylon. And they had flirted with idolatry and the pagan nations, and so God made them captives to a land of great idolatry and destroyed their temple and destroyed the wall around the city of Jerusalem. And several waves of attack, the Babylonians came upon them and took them into captivity. And this is in the life of Daniel and his three friends. Now this tribulation will come in the end, and it is to finish the transgression of Israel. And it will finish the transgression of all those that oppose God. Israel will turn to Christ in the tribulation. Their rejection of him as a Messiah, the apostasy that Israel has committed by rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, will end in the tribulation period. They will turn to Christ. They will be saved. And they will become witnesses for Christ in the tribulation. And a great host from all nations of the earth will be saved in the tribulation. But if you picked up on the fourth of men will die by the sword, and part of these judgments, there's at one point a third of the earth and a fourth of the earth that will die in the tribulation. There is no promise that any particular person will live through the tribulation if they put off getting saved. And they may not have an opportunity. Then those who are saved, many of them will die at the hand of the Antichrist because they will refuse the mark of the beast. Because all who receive the mark of the beast will be damned. And those who reject the mark of the beast are in danger of their head being severed, and they will not be able to buy or sell in the economy of the tribulation. So Israel will experience a great spiritual revival in the tribulation period. Revelation 7:4 says 12,000 from each one of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel, or 144,000 Jewish people will be saved in the tribulation period, and they will become great witnesses. And then in Revelation 7:9, a great multitude will believe of all nations, people from every nation and every language and every tribe of men. There will be people saved and give glory to God, but many of them will die for their faith. So the purpose in this vision that is given to Daniel of the last 7 years of the economy dealing with Israel before the kingdom is given to Daniel as his 70th week that has not yet been fulfilled. The first 69 weeks of years has been fulfilled. There's that 1 7-year period that is waiting to transpire. Secondly, the Bible says to put an end to sin. Christ will come and destroy the nations that come against Israel and fight the battle of Armageddon. He will descend to this earth, and he'll come as a great conqueror. And God allows these demonic spirits to go into the lives of the kings of the earth and draw them to Armageddon for the great battle of that day. And Christ will come, and the Bible says, in the valley of Megiddo, the blood will run to the depth of a horse's bridle, and he will tread the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God. And all of these will be killed that come in battle against Israel in that day, and Christ will defend them. After he shall set up his kingdom, 1,000 years to come after that. Well, before the kingdom begins, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1 through 3, if you want to turn there and I'll read that for you. Revelation 20, verse 1 through 3, speaking of Satan. He's not going to be allowed in the kingdom of Christ, but he's not yet going to be cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verse 1, And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that, he must be loosed a little season. And so Satan will not be tempting men and working against Christ in the kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. Now remember, we're going into rapture. We're going to get our glorified bodies. We're going to be with Christ. We're going to come back to the earth with him when he fights the battle and sets up his kingdom. But those that get saved during the tribulation period that survive physically after the battle of Armageddon will enter the kingdom in mortal bodies. We're going to have our glorified body. We're going to be like the Lord's body. We're going to live forever and forever. But these people will enter the kingdom in their mortal bodies. And the kingdom rule goes back to Christ's message in Matthew 5 through 7 called the Sermon on the Mount. And these are all the rules and regulations of the temple and of the way that Israel is to live in the kingdom age. They'll go back to the temple will be rebuilt. They'll go back to offering sacrifices. And all Jews and Gentiles will observe feasts in Jerusalem in that day and time. But these that survive and enter in their mortal bodies, they will live throughout 1,000 years. The pains of death will be lifted. The people don't die at a young age like we do today. They'll live like Adam and Eve and the early patriarchs did in long years. But Satan will be chained in the bottomless pit. Now the problem is all these people that enter the kingdom in their mortal bodies are still born with a sinful nature. They won't have Satan to work against them. But many over a period of time will stop coming to Jerusalem to worship, the Bible says, and Christ will rule over them with a rod of iron. You know, mankind will not figure out even in that day that God's serious when he says something. And we think we can do what we want. We think we can do things and get away with it. We think we can cover our sin and God won't know about it. No, 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 no. 1,000 times no. When God says how he wants us to live, that's exactly how we need to live. It is what is best for us and it is what is best for Israel as well. The third thing, the tribulation period will be to make reconciliation for iniquity. The word reconciliation is not found in the Old Testament referring to the sacrifices and the blood offering and all of that in the Old Testament economy. The word atonement, which means a covering of sins, is what was used. Kippur in the Hebrew language is Yom Kippur was September 27th. Just passed a couple of weeks. And that's the Day of Atonement for the nation of Israel. And the Day of Atonement was where the two goats were brought forth. And they had a series of things they had to go through to make atonement for their sins. They offered to God the blood of a lamb first and the two goats to cover their sins for 1 year in the celebration called the Feast of Atonement. It was a time of sorrow and a time of repentance as they came forth to repent of their sin and to seek the Lord's forgiveness. If you want to know for your own sake, Leviticus 23 and verse 23 through 25 is where the feasts are revealed, and that one is found in verse 23 through 25. It is during the time the Feast of the Trumpets, which coincides with our fall month of September. And it's the seventh month for the nation of Israel, and the 10th day is their Day of Atonement. And the price of the atonement was first a bullock had to be killed for the sin offering, Leviticus 16:11. Then the priest would take the blood into the Holy of Holies and offer it on the mercy seat, and he would fill the Holy of Holies with incense, with the smoke of incense, a sweet smelling savor unto the Lord. And on the mercy seat, the Jewish people believed when the priest would sprinkle it, that it probably never actually hit the mercy seat, that it would be absorbed in the smoke as an offering unto God, that God would receive it and they would know that God had accepted their sacrifice. And this blood was a covering from year to year. Then he would go back to the altar where the two goats were tied, and he would kill one of the goats and go back in and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. And he would bring some of the blood out and sprinkle it on the altar where the burnt part of the sacrifice is offered. The second goat would be brought forth, and the priest would put his hands on the head of the goat and confess all the sins of the nation of Israel. And he would generally confess all the sins of the people. And then they would take the goat out into the wilderness, and it would never be seen again. It is believed that there was a great precipice where the goat would be led to go over the precipice so it would die. It would never be seen again. But the point is, the one goat was killed and its blood was offered. The other sin was confessed upon him, and he's called the scapegoat. So he took sins away. All of that was a type and a symbol of what Jesus would do in the cross. When he died, his blood was shed, and he was buried and took our sins away, never to be recalled against us again. In Psalm 103 and verse 12, the Old Testament is filled with types and analogies that are fulfilled in Christ and in the New Testament. 103 and verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. So God buries our sins as deep as the ocean is deep and casts them as far away from us as the east is from the west. God puts our sins behind his back, and he never recalls them against us again. Now, Jesus, whom the nation rejected, is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. John the Baptist made this statement in John chapter 1 and verse number 29. His sacrifice is sufficient to reconcile completely those who believe in him with God. In Hebrews 9 and verse 11, I want to read some verses there. Hebrews 9 verse 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkled in the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And then if you look down at verse 24, if you're there, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So the earthly tabernacle and the earthly temple were built with blueprints God gave, patterned after the temple in heaven and the holy place in heaven. When Christ ascended to the Father, he offered his blood on our behalf. The resurrection of Christ from the dead is proof that God accepted his sacrifice and has made forgiveness for us possible. Number four, to bring in everlasting righteousness. If you want to look with me, I got several passages in Jeremiah and in Isaiah I want to look at. Isaiah and Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23 and verse 5 and 6. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, And a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. This is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord, our righteousness. And for those of you that are not looking at your Bible, that's in all capital letters. And you'll find his name written on his thigh in Revelation chapter 19. Then look at Jeremiah 33 and verse 15. In those days, at that time, will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel, neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and do sacrifice continually. And the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Now, if you look back at Isaiah chapter 11, is filled with understanding of the future things that will transpire. Isaiah 11 and verse 1 through 5. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Jesse was David's father, and Jesse had sons, and David was his youngest son and became the king over Israel. And so Christ is of this lineage. Verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Then if you look at Isaiah 53, this is one of the great messianic passages of the Old Testament. In Isaiah 53, from verse 1 down through verse 12, all of this is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can easily see that in the speaking of him bearing our sins and iniquities. In chapter 53, verse 11 says, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. So the atonement shall be made to bring in everlasting righteousness. And this righteous character of the messianic kingdom under Christ, who is the one true righteous one, shall rule and reign. We are made righteous through our faith in Jesus Christ because of the blood sacrifice of Christ on the cross and offering of himself unto the Father on our behalf. We are declared to be righteous, meaning to be without sin. And that in type happens now when we believe on Christ. But when we get our new body before the Lord, we will forever then be dressed in a robe of righteousness. Number 5. From Daniel's prophecy, to seal up the vision and the prophecy. God gave Daniel visions to write what he saw. I started reading part of one in chapter 7. About 3 times, some of this vision is given unto Daniel. In chapter 9, the full explanation of the finality of the tribulation is given. And then in chapter 11 or chapter 12, the days are divided of the 7 years. 2 3.5-year periods of the tribulation are explained there. God gave Daniel visions to write, and he wrote, and these things will be fulfilled. The word of God will take place just as God has said it will happen. It'll happen exactly like he says, in all detail. Everything that God has promised will come to pass. Nothing can be added to it and nothing can be taken away from it. When Christ returns in glory and power, he will speak God's word unto all. And he has spoken the word of God to us. His last word to the church is found in the first three chapters of Revelation. Chapter 2 and 3 deals with the Lord's message to the seven churches of Asia Minor. And we see his knowledge of everything we do and everything we know and our behavior. Number 6, to anoint the most holy. There will be a rebuilt temple in the kingdom. The temple will be built in the tribulation. And then the Antichrist will come into it and declare that he should be worshipped instead of God. Declare he is God. But there will be a rebuilt temple during the kingdom. And Christ will rule and reign from David's throne, the scripture says. He will sit upon the throne of man. And he will make of us kings and priests to rule and reign with him in the kingdom. Because it's 1,000 years on the earth, it's called the millennial kingdom. And this will be the millennial temple. We'll worship Christ as King of kings and Lord of lords. And he is worthy. And we'll worship him in the same way Revelation 4 and 5 describe. John saw the angelic beings and the elders worshiping him in heaven even now. And then number 7, from Daniel 9 and verse 27, the catalyst of the tribulation is the covenant that the Antichrist will sign with the nation of Israel for a 7-year period. But then in the midst of the 7 years, he will violate the covenant and commit the abomination of desolation. He breaks the covenant and defiles the temple. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 with me in the New Testament. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians and verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. So who's withholding this? For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit restrains evils, and that's what the word letteth mean, restrains. The Holy Spirit's restraining evil. That's why it's not worse than it is. But I believe the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more the Holy Spirit sort of pulls back the veil a little bit, and the more we see iniquity abounding. And the more we see the vileness of men as they have no shame to come out and do all their wicked works. But the Holy Spirit restrains evil until he is taken out of the way. When the church goes to heaven to be with the Lord, the Holy Spirit doesn't cease to exist, but he stops restraining evil in the tribulation. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So the tribulation is coming and men are going to be destroyed because they reject the opportunities now to be saved. I believe that these nations in the tribulation that get saved because of the witness of the 12,000 Jews from each one of the 12 tribes, I believe that many of those are going to be people who've never heard the gospel, who've never had the opportunities, that don't have churches on every corner like we do here in America. How many people are rejecting the Lord today who've had a clear presentation and understanding of who Christ is and why he died and he rose again from the dead. But they reject that because they want to continue in the pleasures of sin. They will never have another opportunity to be saved if they fit that description. Now, who's that way and who's not? None of us know. Our job is to keep witnessing and keep preaching the gospel, hoping that people repent of their sins and get saved. But many who reject will not have another opportunity. Turn with me to Revelation 19, and I'll finish up from there. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. Now remember, in chapter 5, the seals are broken, and the first rider goes forth on a white horse with a bow to conquer. That is the Antichrist coming to power at the beginning of the tribulation. This is Christ coming at the end of the tribulation. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. The vesture dipped in blood is the result of the Battle of Armageddon. Then verse 14, and the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, all capital letters. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and of captains, and the flesh of mighty men and of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. On the way to church tonight, we came through Celanese Road coming to the church here. And about the time we got up there around Forest Hill Cemetery, there's night lights had been put on the sides of the road now on that four lane. And there were half a dozen vultures. We don't have vultures, they're buzzards. Great big old black buzzards. They were roosting up on those lights, because there was some carcass laying in the middle of the road. I guess it was a dead deer. It probably all been run over a good many times, if it was, or it wasn't very big. But they were waiting for an opportunity for the traffic to see so they could fly down and feast on those things. Well, imagine in that day, the things they'll be feasting on will be men, soldiers, captains of armies, kings, and great men who come against the Lord Jesus in that day. In Revelation 1, verse 4, the scripture says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Now it is obvious that this particular coming of the Lord is not the same as 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 through 18. There he comes in the clouds and calls all the saved up to him in heaven, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. But in this coming, he comes back to the earth, and every eye on earth shall see him as he comes. He's coming in clouds, and he'll call us up, but in this second advent, he comes back to the earth to fight the battle. In the rapture, all believers go to be with the Lord, but only believers go to be with the Lord. All the lost are left behind on the earth. In the second advent, there is no translation. That takes place before the tribulation begins. Christians have a place prepared in heaven. The second advent, he comes to the earth to prepare the kingdom for those who dwell with him. The second advent is about war and death and judgment. The rapture is about us being delivered from the wrath to come as we go home to be with the Lord. The rapture is imminent, meaning it could happen at any time. But the second advent does not take place until the end of the tribulation period. The rapture will be a time of great joy as we go home to be with the Lord, as we get to see our Savior who loved us and gave himself for us. The second advent will be a time of mourning and weeping. Satan is not involved in the rapture, but in the second advent, he will be judged and bound for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. Believers, it will happen with us in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. There will be great happiness in that day. The second advent, every eye will see Christ return. It happens in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The world's not going to know what's happened. They may hear a great sound. They may hear great thunder. They may see lightning or something of that effect. But the Lord's going to say, come up hither, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught, gathered together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. In the rapture, we will go to be with the Lord, and the tribulation begins after the rapture takes place. After the second advent, when Christ comes to earth, then he sets up his kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. At the end of that 1,000 years, Satan will be released from his prison for a brief time. He'll go about and tempt the nations that have lived on this earth for 1,000 years under the reign of Christ. Sadly, there will be a great host that will turn against the Lord, motivated by Satan, and follow him. And the Bible says fire will come down out of heaven and devour them. And then Christ will set up a new heaven and a new earth where we will dwell with him forever and forever. Let's look forward. We have a great future. And let's thank God for how he's prepared it for us. Father, we thank you for the faithfulness of your people being here tonight. We pray that those that are watching by live streaming. I remember Jennifer Kelly today. Pray that you'd meet her need, Father. I'm sorry I couldn't meet with her early today. And I pray that you'll supply her needs and help her to look to you, please. Bless her mom to give her good counsel and help her to be wise in making decisions she needs to. And bless this invitation time right now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.